Good evening. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about Joseph, but not in the general sense that we talk about his life and the hardships that he faced and, you know, the way God brought him through that. I want to start tonight in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. So this is going to be his last request that we see recorded for us here. And I do want to thank the pastor for allowing me to come tonight. It's a great honor to be able to stand here with you guys and to share God's word. Hebrews 11, 22, and it reads, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight, dear Lord, and I thank you for working everything out so that I might be able to be off to be here for this, dear Lord. It's by your will that I was able to make it, dear Lord, and I thank you for that. I pray that you'll be with this message tonight, that you'll help give me clarity of thought and clarity of words, dear Lord, and that your word might be able to touch somebody's heart, dear Lord, and meet the need that they have in their life right now, dear Lord. And I just pray that you'll watch over us, be with the other ministries going on tonight, and continue to watch over us this coming week and bring us back safely on Sunday. In your son's name, amen. Amen. So here in Hebrews 11, 22, we see, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Isn't it a little unusual that one of the last requests of a man has to do with his bones? There's three types of Christ in the Old Testament. Joseph is pictured as a Christ, Moses is pictured as Christ, and David as well. Joseph pictures the moral glories of Christ. Moses, he pictures the ministerial glories of Christ, and David pictures the messianic glories of Christ. Of these three types, Joseph probably stands most supreme. It's almost impossible to touch any part of his life and not be reminded at once of Jesus. Notice that the way in which Joseph foreshadows Jesus. Joseph's birth, he had a special birth. He had a special relationship with his father. Example, Jacob gave Joseph a coat of many colors. Over in Matthew 3, I'll turn over there quickly, we see the correlation to Christ. In Matthew 3, 17, it reads, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Joseph had a special place in his father's eye, as well as Jesus in his father's eye. They were both well-pleased fathers of their sons. Joseph's brothers hated him and rejected his message and was mad that one day that they would have to bow their knee to him. This also correlates to Jesus. In John 1:11, it reads, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Direct correlation. Joseph's behavior was also another thing. When we examine Joseph's character, career, and conduct, we cannot find any fault in him. Now, we know Joseph wasn't perfect, but God decided not to give us any of his faults in his word. He shows us that perfect picture of this man to show us Christ was perfect. Luke 23:4 shows us Christ. And it says, "Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man." There's another thing that is in common with Joseph and Christ. Joseph's betrayal. The story of Joseph and Jesus match side by side when you put them together. Joseph was sold for the price of a slave. He was handed over to the Gentiles. He was made to suffer for sin on his own. He was rejected of men and put in a place of death. He was forgotten by people in the prison. However, the prison could not hold him. In the end, Joseph had the keys to the prison. In the fullness of time, Joseph was brought forth. He was raised to the right hand of Pharaoh and given a name above all names in the land of Egypt. It's amazing how similar they are. God perfectly reveals it for us. There's another thing, Joseph's bride. In Genesis 41, 45, it reads, Genesis 41, 45, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name, and I'm going to butcher it, Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave to him wife, Asnatheth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. So Joseph's bride, when he was rejected by the children of Israel, he was given a Gentile bride. And what are we? We're the Gentile bride of Christ as the church. Joseph's benevolence. During the time that all the executive powers of the throne were committed into his hands, he brought the children of Israel into confession. He brought them so that they were confessing their sins before him. He revealed himself to them. If you remember the story, his brothers didn't recognize who he was. God had blinded them. He brought them there. He made them confess. And then he revealed himself to them, settled them in the best of the land of Goshen. And he brought them up and made them administrators in the land of Egypt. Isn't that a wonderful picture of what Christ will do with us? It's a wonderful thing. If one of us had been the author of Hebrews, we doubtless would have mentioned Joseph's birth or his brothers, maybe even his behaviors or his betrayal, maybe his bride or his benevolence, but would we mention his bones? Why mention Joseph's bones and not the other attributes of Joseph? The bones of Joseph are mentioned three times in the Old Testament. Each time they have a message for us. And as most of y'all know, Pastor always says, if it's mentioned more than once in the Bible, you know it's important. It's important at the first mention, but it's doubly and triply important if it's mentioned more than once. We see the first time in Genesis 50, 25, if you would turn over there. This is towards the end of his life. He's about to die, and he calls together everybody. And it says, Genesis 50, 25, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Here we see that God will bring you out. God will bring you out of Egypt, is what he's telling them. The next time we see the mention of his bones is in Exodus 13, 19, a few pages over. In Exodus 13, 19, we see, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And this time we see that God will bring you through. This is a very rough time for the children of Israel. We just completed the plagues, and they're about to go into the wilderness, and this is given as a symbol to the children of Israel, a memorial, as you would say, that God's going to bring you through. He promised it. Joseph said, this is what's going to happen, and God will bring you through. Finally, the third time in the Old Testament is Joshua 24:32. We see here that God will bring you in. In Joshua 24:32, it says, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, bury them in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. So let's look a little bit more closely at Joseph's bones and how they spoke of the complete redemption and how they spoke of bringing them out. When Joseph died, what did his family expect to hear? Did they expect him to read off a will? To Judah, he gives the land of Goshen. To Benjamin, his vaults, all his money. To his son Ephraim, his robes or his mansion by the Nile. a letter recommending him for a high office, maybe. To his son Manasseh, his stables, his horses, his chariot, any of that. No. However, in his final will and testament, we see Joseph left his kinsmen something much more valuable than corruptible silver and gold. He left them his bones. Imagine their faces when they saw that. Right? So, he left them his bones. The faith that sustained Joseph in Hebrews 11:22, it was Joseph was able to die in faith because he lived in faith. We see that throughout his whole life, when he was sold into slavery, when he was falsely accused in Potiphar's wife, when he was forgotten in the jail, he lived by faith. He did what God wanted him to do, and God ultimately blessed him. God used him to bring around the salvation of his people. If it wasn't for Joseph obeying and bringing in that position of authority, he wouldn't have had the opportunity to save his brethren when the famine came. Joseph was able to be surrounded by all the sin, all the seductiveness, sensuality of Pharaoh's court, but he still lived for God. The temptations, treasures, and teachings of Egypt had not attracted him. Remember, he's high up in Pharaoh's court. He's a ruler over the land. Anything he wants or desires would be his. But he still stuck with God. The splendor, symbolism, and the scope of Egypt's religion had not enticed him. The adversity could not shake him, and advancement could not spoil him. It's so easy today in this world, whenever you get a better paying job or you get higher in the world, higher up the corporate ladder, to forget what God's doing for you. It's more about what I'm doing for myself. I got here. I made it. He didn't forget that. He knew God put him there. He knew God was his sustainment. Amen. Joseph held true to God's promise. Now, what was God's promise? In Genesis 15, we see his promise. Genesis 15, 13 through 16. God's promise is, "And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." He believed what God said. He believed that the children of Israel would be there for 400 years, but he also believed that God would bring the people out. He had that faith in the promise. There's a couple facts that strengthen Joseph. He was a man sick of Egypt. He had known Egypt as a slave and as a statesman. He had seen the inside of the prisons, but he also seen the pomp and pageantry of the power. However, he realized that Egypt was not his home. He belonged in Canaan land. Joseph wanted to convey this fact to his brothers. Do not settle for Egypt. Amen. Keep Canaan in view. Right. Never lose sight of the promised land. He had that sight of the promised land. In Genesis 33, I'll read it for you real quick. I do apologize, a lot of scripture, but I love the scripture. Genesis 33, 18 through 20. This is the promised land that was promised. "And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, where he came from Paddan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money, and erected there an altar, and called it El Olo Hesh Israel." He knew where he was going to go. He knew where the promised land was. There was a fear, though, that stirred inside Joseph. He was afraid that they might leave his remains behind in Israel, or Egypt. He was not interested in the tomb that he would have in Egypt. As a great and powerful man in Egypt, no doubt he would have been given a very impressive tomb. But he didn't want that. He wasn't interested in that. He didn't want his body to lie around all his wealth that he had accumulated, that God had given him. Joseph wanted to be buried in Canaan so that he would not miss the glory of the land. Soon, a star would rise out of Jacob, a Messiah. He wanted his bones where the Messiah would be. Joseph said, in effect, "Keep my body among you as a reminder that God will bring you out of this land and take you into that land." The patriarchs coveted the burial of Canaan because they wanted to be in the promised land where the promised Lord would arrive. We see this back in our original chapter in Hebrews. In Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, we see, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." They look forward to that promised land, that Canaan land. In the second place we find Joseph's bones mentioned, Exodus 13, 19, we see that they spoke of a Canaan rest, that they would bring the children of Israel through the Exodus and through the wilderness into a rest. In Genesis 50, the bones of Joseph said, in effect, "God will bring you out." But in Exodus 13, they said, "God will bring you through." Joseph promised the children of Israel that God would visit them in Genesis 50. And he did do that. He visited them through the blood of the Passover lamb. The day that they had come for the Israelites to march out of Egypt and be bound for the promised land, all the way from Egypt to Canaan, Moses carried with him the bones of Joseph, that they might remind the children of Israel as a memorial that they would not perish in the wilderness, that they would enter the promised land. They found themselves trapped by the Pharaoh and his chariots, but they had that memorial with them as well. God would bring them through. The Israelites forgot their misery of their slavery and the miracle of their salvation, but they had the memorial. God would bring them through. And so it was at every crisis, at the Red Sea, at Marah, at Rephidim, in the wilderness of Sin, at Sinai, at Kadesh Barnea, to the plains of Moab, Moses stood firm with the children of Israel. They had the memorial of Joseph's bones to take to the promised land. We see in our present New Testament journey from Egypt to Canaan land, we have with us what Moses had with him. Just as Joseph's bones spoke to Moses, we have a memorial ourselves. We do it in remembrance of him. The communion service declares that, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." That memorial body points us back and points us on. It sees us through. Joseph's bones spoke of the coming resurrection. In Joshua 24, 32, at the third mention of his bones, "And the bones of Joseph with the children of Israel, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground, which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph." The last Old Testament reference is here in Joshua 24:32. The bones were buried, but they still had something to say. They spoke of the rest that is better in Canaan land. There's a rest in Calvary as well. I wonder what was happening whenever they were burying the bones, if they were remembering truly what it was all about, if it was about that rest. In Genesis 50:25, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. The ultimate message of the bones of Joseph was that he died in hope of a better resurrection. We can be certain that in the morning in Jerusalem, when Christ burst asunder the bars of death, that Joseph arose with his Lord. We see that in Matthew 27:50-53. Matthew 27:50-53. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. We know that as we travel throughout this life, that death is a certainty. But we also know that if you're a born-again Christian and you believed on Christ, what he did, dying on the cross for your sins, a sinless man, being buried in the grave and raised again 3 days later, that we have that rest in Canaan land through him, that we are not going to be separated from loved ones forever if they're saved, that we will be together once again. It's a wonderful picture that God shows us in Hebrews, talking about Joseph's bones, that he will take us out of Egypt, out of the sin, out of the world, that he will bring us through the hardships that lie before us, and that he'll give us rest in the coming resurrection.
Amen. Wow. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Jonathan, thank you so much. It's going to take me some time to go back and digest all those verses. I'm almost wanting to ask you if you could give me a list of all the verses sometime, maybe a copy of your notes. That would be great because I'd love to have that. And how truly great it is. Over and over again in the Bible, Genesis all the way through Revelation, we're shown over and over again this picture of salvation and redemption and God's reconciliation of man unto himself. And it's wonderful. It encourages us. It sustains us. And it is the hope that we look forward to, particularly as we live throughout this life. And so thank you so much for that. Well, listen, I'd like to continue the praise, blessings, and testimonies, and then we'll take some prayer requests and have a time of prayer. So does anybody else at this time have any praise, blessings, or testimonies? Anybody at all? Okay. Do we have any prayer requests this evening? All right, Miss Elaine, I'll work my way back. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Does anybody else have an unspoken request this evening? That's 26 unspoken requests. 27, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, I got you. 27 unspoken requests. Anybody else? Where was the other hand at? Miss Tracy, yes, ma'am. Okay. Right knee replacement On the 24th, you said? All right. Yes, Ms. Surratt, and then I'll get you, and then get you. Okay. Brother Mendoza and then Brother John. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Brother John, do you have a...
Yeah, I mentioned before a co-worker of mine, Jack Condick, his wife, Jill, found out she had cancer. Well, she started her first chemo and radiation thing. Said she was doing already. It started on Monday, so continue prayers for her.
Okay. Yes, Ms. Kay. Yes. Okay. Yes, Ms. Sandy. Oh. Okay. I see another hand. Michael, go ahead. Okay. 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 We sure will. Who else this evening? Yes, Miss Daisy. Okay. All right, Miss Tracy. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else this evening? If you'll take your prayer bulletins out for just a few minutes, and let me make note of a couple of things. First of all, you'll see our missionaries there. Dick Stelzik, he was the church planter to Boston. You remember his brother was here, who's going to the far north, into the upper parts of Canada. God bless him, because it's going to be really cold up there. But Nick Stelzik, he's in Boston, which isn't quite as cold, but we'll be planting a church there. We have the stewards to Ireland. And then, of course, Jerry Traister with CBM Ministries, our missionary to Taiwan, and then the Thatchers to Ireland. If you could please pray for those missionaries. Let me remind you about that before we pray here in just a minute, that as you go around the corner towards the kitchen, on the left there is our missions board, and my wife tries to keep the letters changed out up there, the ones that are actually facing you. So please make a habit of going by there and reading exactly what's going on with our missionaries, because they always have specific requests that they're asking us to pray for in certain needs, and there'll be something special we'll talk about that was alluded to on Sunday, this Sunday, about what's going on in Uganda. Something very exciting, and we'll talk to you about that on Sunday. Also, please pray for outreach. Pray specifically, if you would, for the trunk or treat coming up. And also, please be mindful of the ladies' celebration. The ladies' celebration is the 27th of October. And you can register all the way up into the 24th, but really you can actually come in and register right there on the spot. But listen, we want everybody, all the ladies, to participate in that and be a part of the ladies' celebration. You will not want to miss it, I promise you. It's just a wonderful time. And so please pray specifically. So once we get through this week, we're right into next week in preparation for ladies' celebration again, putting everything back up. As it got delayed a month. And so pray specifically for that. Keep in mind of all the other ministries also. And then you'll see on the general request, I'll remind you again, if you could pray for the Shellabears. He was our missionary in Australia. He lost his wife in a very short amount of time. I forget what the time length was. It was something like 7 weeks or 9 weeks. Diagnosed with cancer, then she was gone. The prayer letter that came through was large. I haven't got a chance to read it yet. It was 17 megs. I mean, it was very big, and I imagine it has something to do with his wife passing away. And so, please pray for him. I can imagine what a shock that is in his life, as long as they've been married. So, and you'll see the other things there listed in the prayer bulletin. And then on the back side, we have all the differing health needs here, and there are many. So please continue to pray for that, and please do make it a matter of prayer for these different folks that we put on the prayer request for salvation. And if you have any requests for salvation, the folks that you come across that you want added to this list, you can email the church office or let us know, and we'll make sure we get that added to the list. So this time we're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I wonder if Brother Dan, if you would come up over here, if you won't mind, and pray for as many as you have written down or can remember as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And you're welcome to come up to the altar and pray as we go before the Lord, and then we will be dismissed after that.